This is how we fight our battles. This will be the conclusion of that mini series. What I thought would happen was, man, people would be so excited to see how it ended that they couldn't help themselves to come on Wednesday night. So y'all going to have to tell them about it or tell them to get on the website and listen to it. But we can't preach to people that ain't here. I'm just going to preach to y'all that did show up. Amen? Amen, preacher. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. As he was singing that song, it's kind of neat. God gave me a glimpse into the message. I could see it. I almost shouted. There's a part in this message, one of the meat part of what I want to preach tonight. How I see it, how the Lord's put it on our heart. But I could just see it when he sung, you know, about the cross. This is pretty neat. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 16. I'm starting to see the value of preaching a little series or even a big series, because if you give yourself time to see more of it kind of settle, you'll see more in the message. Amen? It's kind of like rereading scripture, going back and rereading it, you'll start seeing details. First of all, you got to remember where we started. David, where he was coming back from the battle. I've done this little chart. Y'all can't see this in the very back, but it's pretty cool. Yeah, thank y'all. It's the only reason I didn't have no notes. I just brought my little cool chart. Melissa said, "What are you doing, geometry?" And now it's a big negative because I don't do math. But I wrote this little chart if you want to kind of do it with me. And it's kind of how life is. It started out with a little dot, and that's on the high point with David. He came back, found out no war. We're not going to war with Israel, high point. Direct line, got back home. Somebody else has attacked. The Amalekites have attacked, and they've taken our wives, children, and all of our stuff and burnt our homes. Down, right? Chart goes down. Ain't that how life is a lot of times? I mean, you're kind of shouting, excited, and laughing, and enjoying life, and then you kind of see the smoke, and then you get into it, and all of a sudden you're in a conflict, and you didn't even know it. And I mean, you could just probably trace it back just a couple hours prior to that, maybe in a couple of days, how good things were. Man, laughing about some of the things, you know, saying some of the things, enjoying some. Hey, man, I mean, I could just, you know, guys are different. I mean, I could just imagine some of the guys coming from that battle, and they're just kind of cutting on each other and joking about stuff like that. And then, you know, we get to Ziklag, and the family's gone, the kids are gone, and all of a sudden those same men are now, we're thinking we're going to kill you, right? Down. Then I take another point, and I drew a point back up. God gives, David worships and gets a promise from God, right? Man, that's a high point. Even in a low place, the trajectory goes up, right? That's kind of where, you know, we're at. And I was thinking about, man, how exciting that is when you get a word from God. And I preached that in the second service more or less, is it doesn't really matter what's going on with everybody else if you get a word from God. Have you ever done that? I mean, if you'll stay close to God, sometimes God will drop something in your mind and in your heart that is contrary to everything else that's going on in your life. And people will think you're crazy. I mean, they'll say, "You're dying." "No, I'm living." "Oh, that boy, he ain't never going to get off." "Yes, he is going to get off." "Yeah, he's going to get off drugs." "She ain't never going to." "Yes, she is. God's promised me, you know." There's things in there. I mean, there's been times I can just tell you God gives. I mean, he was giving me some promises, and they have went contrary to everything else that everybody else was saying. This will never go. This will never happen. This will never work. Nobody ever. Nobody ever. Nobody ever. Right? I get so aggravated when people say nobody's ever done it. I'm like, well, listen, God's not. He works different than most people. Amen. So you got to move. He gets a promise from God. And then the next line down is another, you know, on the little chart is Brooke Bezor. We preached that Sunday night. Brooke Bezor, you run into the obstacle. And I guess this is kind of the title of the message tonight. The title of the message or the series was being, "This is how we fight our battles." But this one right here is the quitting place, right? right past, let me reword that, right past the quitting place. Right past the quitting place. Now that chart tonight, we'll finish it up. Hopefully it'll look a lot different because it's not going to have a lot of more ups and downs. Right past, now that Brook Bazar is a hard place. It's probably one of the hardest places to get past. I believe it was even hard for Jesus. I believe when he went across the Kidron, Brook Kidron, and went into the garden, I believe that was Jesus' quitting place in his flesh. Amen? That place where God, Dad, my flesh doesn't want to do this. If there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. What he was saying is, I want to quit right here. And this is a good quitting place. It's a good place to quit. And I mean, if you've been in life any time, there are places in your life that are quitting places. And man, if you can press through those quitting places, life gets really good. Amen? You can. I mean, it gets really good. But if you don't get past those quitting places, you're going to have a lot of regrets. Can we have an altar call right now and just come up here and talk to God about our quitting places? There's some places in my life where I quit, and man, you're talking about some resentments and some places in my life where I thought, man, I wish I'd have never quit there. But man, there have been some places where I pressed past that quitting place, amen, and golly bum, God's in that. I see people, all, especially, can I just speak to Christians tonight? I've seen Christians, man, I have to quit right here. I've got to quit church. I've got to quit this. I've got to go, you know, and you're sitting there going, man, you're quitting at the place where God is wanting to show out the most. There's a reason. If you're quitting, there's a reason the enemy wants you to stop right here. Yeah, I hope y'all get that. And I hope I'm not doing a terrible job to preaching to you tonight. But there's been so many places I see Christians and they're like, I got to stop. I'm leaving. And you're sitting there going, man, this is not the place. And that's where we are. You see Brook Kidron? Then you start this little upward trend is where they find the Egyptian. Y'all remember that? They find the man who was hanging on to life. They left him for dead and they revived him. And they said, can you take him to the place? All right, now see, y'all seen this chart in my mind. I wrote it down. It's up the ups and downs of life. They crossed Brook Kidron. They found somebody who knows where the family is. Amen? They know where the kids are. They know where the stuff is. Next tick up. Are y'all ready for that? That's where we're going to be tonight. Right past the quitting place. And maybe, God, I can't get over this. Maybe it's Holy Spirit. Even if you don't feel like quitting today, even if everything in this church and everything in this ministry is going great for you, there will be times that you'll say, man, they did this or this happened and I'm not going to go. If they find that out about me, I'm just not going to, you know what I mean? I didn't like the way they did this, so I'm on, and it's used, man, this is critical place. I want y'all to see that. Verse 16, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread. Oh, this is so good. Were they spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, and because all the great spoil, and they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Golly, this is the part where we got here a little bit quicker, and I thought it was going to be, man, this is the place where we were singing that song that God just gave me a real quick glimpse. You know what I mean? Like, I seen it. Like, movie, right? I don't know if y'all see things like I see it, but man, the Egyptian brings them down and they're wherever they're camped, and I mean these people are having a party of all parties, right? A party of all parties. They're drinking, they're dancing, they're celebrating for all the stuff they got. But what they don't know, golly, I feel the man in me, you know what I mean? I mean, they've got 400 crazy dads sitting right on the edge of camp. Y'all get it? Some of you dads are seeing it now, right? There's some little, God, y'all preach this. There's some little girls in there. right? Daddy's little girls are in there. Whew. And there's some, and they're mate, you know, and there's some boys in there that them dads, man, when they see them come out, they thought, man, whew, y'all can play it cool. Man, play it cool if you want to. I don't care. I'll just preach anyway. Play it cool, you know? Like you wouldn't, how you would be. Oh, you'd sit there like you was in a Sunday, like a regular old church. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good preaching. I mean, when I was sitting there when he was singing this, what I could just see the fire. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the literal fire in their eyes. Right outside the camp. This ain't street lights, and this ain't what we live in. This is talking about, and they're right on the edge of the darkness, and the Egyptian looks over at David and said, there they are. And 400 warriors. I'm talking about warriors. These men lived in caves. They fought for a living. And guess what? Their wives and their kids are just inside the camp. And they are, man, this is so good. And they're just sitting there. They're partying. And they're at the mercy of these warriors. And I can you just see the focus of that? This is David. This is God's man. And he's standing right on the outside of that little camp. And he is looking, peering into it. And they don't even know what's about to happen to them. We beat God. We beat God's people. Man, we have man, look at all of our stuff. And God's saying, I'm about to unleash on you. Amen. Y'all messed around with the wrong people. Can I show you what I was seeing? Because y'all thought that was what I was seeing. No, God showed me that yesterday when I prepared for this. What he showed me tonight was Revelations 1:18. Amen? I'll read it to you. And y'all just bear with me because I'm going to take a creative license. Revelations 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, right? And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen? That's what he says, amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Amen? Because see, what happened is Jesus had a little trajectory line. Amen? He went to Brook Cedron. He went to the cross. He went to the grave. Amen? But then there's an uptick. Man, if y'all don't get excited about this stuff, there's something wrong with you, all right? There's an uptick. Not before he comes out of the tomb. There's an uptick before. See, there was a party going on in hell. There was a party going on, and the devil had thought, man, I have won. But there was somebody. Whew. Just on the outside of the darkness, who was peering in, looking at an enemy who thought they had victory and didn't even know there was a warrior, there was a lion, there was a Savior who was standing right outside saying, you don't even know what you've done. I'm coming for the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You didn't win, you've lost. Could you see him? Give me them keys. You don't even have the keys to your own place. My gosh, I'm coming to rescue everybody, every soul, backwards and forwards. Old Testament to New Testament. The ones who believed by faith back then and the ones who will now. The ones in 2020, 2019 who will say, when they say, God, I believe. He said, give me the keys to that one. Man, that's good, ain't it? That's what God said. That's what God showed me as I was sitting right there. I like to come unglued because, man, I could see. I know how I am, and I think of it like a man thing. I can see David. I can see his mighty men in them woods just looking and saying, just say it. Just let's go. One more second. Let's unleash because we got to get our kids back. I got to get my wife back. And it'll be great if we get the stuff back, but everything's in the relationship. God, man, I wish I could get on. But I wonder which devil, which demon caught eyes. There's somebody down here amongst us who don't belong. Amen? Hey, somebody slid in and is walking in amongst us who don't belong down here. He's coming down here where nobody else has to. Man, ain't you glad? See, y'all got more. Y'all got more than you think you do. Sometimes we get caught in the humdrums of Christianity, and we forget that God has already secured the victory. And shortly after this life, meaning your last breath, you're going to be in the presence of God. Because he pursued when he had that line going. Amen. One more uptick is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's another uptick. Guess what it's going to be? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then another uptick. What? We all gone. We're in heaven. Amen. New glorified heaven, new glorified earth. Well, that's what David's looked like. He found the enemy, right? Well, this gets good. And David, listen, in verse 17, David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. Whew. Man, I don't know. Y'all just have to get over me. I'm a guy. That is cool. From twilight to dark the next day. Put a whoop on them. I mean, just said you done took the wrong stuff, and they didn't. And that's the thing about the enemy. A lot of times, if we don't get, I guess the main point tonight is if we don't get past the quitting place, we never get to see this kind of victory. Amen. That's what God did not bring you to a quitting place or a hard place to kill you right past that. It's to give you victory right past that and to show himself strong. He's there to destroy the enemy that's trying to destroy you and your family. But if you quit, you won't see it. I mean, just recently I'm counseling people and they say, I think the answer is, I don't think we're going to be coming back to church. And I hate to tell you, I'm a pretty straightforward person. I said, man, that's a foolish idea. It's a dumb idea. Why? Because this is the help. You don't have to come to church whole. You don't. We're not a club of people who've got it figured out and we're whole and well. We're a group of people that need Jesus. Not did need him, do need him. And some days we do well, and other days we don't do well. Some days we're successful, and sometimes we're failures. And if some of you are sitting here right now going, I don't worry about it. Man, listen, you're looking at a guy who, I fall short of God's glory, and I need him. Sometimes, listen, I come in here and I'll just say, God, you're going to have to forgive me to use me. Well, what kind of preacher are you? I'm an honest one. I'm being honest with you. I wish I could tell you, man, I've been sin-free since I got saved. No. I don't try to live outside the will of God, but sometimes, man, I'll be honest with you. I have to remind myself, I'm not preaching because I'm a great somebody. I'm preaching because I'm forgiven, and God is forgiving me. When somebody comes in and says, well, I'm just not as good as y'all. Yeah, that is not true. I've made a mistake. Good. What we're going to do, golly, I wish I could preach the way I want to preach. We're going to sit in the floor with you. We're going to cry with you. And when you decide to get up, we'll get up with you. Why do you want to do that? Because one day we'll be the ones who are sitting in the floor. Have you ever had somebody had to sit in the floor with you? Cry with you, pray with you, then get up, then praise God. You'll need that. You're not always going to be the one lifting. Some days you're going to have to be the one who needs to be lifted. Hey, some of you strong. I'm telling you, you're strong people. But let me tell you this. I'm going to be honest with you. Life can hit you harder than you think it can. And it'll put you in places where you're going to need somebody who gets down on there. I love you. I can't tell. Listen, I'm preaching. I can't tell you what you're going through. I don't know how you feel. Even if I went through similar stuff, I don't know how you felt. I don't know what the relationship was. But let me tell you this. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to love on you until you feel like getting on your knees. And if you feel like standing up, I'll stand up with you. And if we can only make it a couple of steps, we'll get back down until we can go. That's church. You ain't going to find that in the world. You're not going to find it at a doctor's office, a psychologist's office, a lawyer's office. You're not going to find it on a job. You're going to find it in the house of God. That's where you're going to find it. And if we can't find it here, we're in trouble, church. If we can't offer that, we're in trouble. If all we can offer is one day you can be like us, we're in trouble. Amen? I know we don't have that to offer. Verse 18 gets good. And David recovered all. Y'all might want to underline that in your Bibles. Ain't that good? Have y'all seen it? I'm sorry, I left off. Crossed the brook Kedron, met the Egyptians, whooped the army, right? Got all the stuff back. Is it kind of a trending? We're seeing a trend? Okay, good. Ain't that neat? That's how God works. Amen. And David smote them. And David recovered all, verse 18. And the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. I won't get into that tonight. I don't know how anybody has two wives. And for some of you wives, I don't know how anybody would have two husbands. Okay, is that fair? Some of you wives said, amen. Sorry. Verse 19. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great. Let's read that again. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. God. Listen. That's neat. They was some, God, man, I wish I didn't think the way I think and see it the way I see it. I see some soldiers who've been fighting all day long. Blood, guts, and a whole lot of danger. Amen? Charlie, check this out. Holding a sword or a spear, drenched in blood, got a little girl holding on to their finger. Huh? You see it? Can you see it? I can see it. It ain't no different than when daddy comes home from a day of work and he's covered in his work and they just say, all I want to do, I want daddy, there's daddy right there. Right? They ain't say, oh, man, I can't believe it's happening. What do you think, man? I wonder something, man. I wonder. I'm just going to pray. I wonder if any of them kids are sitting in that camp going, y'all don't know. Our daddies are coming. God, y'all don't know. You'll get it here in a minute when it hits you. If we raise our kids right, they might be in the enemy's camp. They might get to a place where they're surrounded by the enemy. I wonder if any of them would look around and say, you know what? I wouldn't raise this way. Y'all messed up. My daddy's coming. My daddy will be here. I'm going to pray that he shows up. Because you know what? I don't belong here. I might have let my guard down. I might have walked away from some stuff. But praise God, I'm going to pray. If my daddy can show up in hell, if he can send somebody into the enemy's camp, praise God, he'll send them here. Some of y'all need to start praying for your kids that way. You can't go to school with them. You can't go to the places with them. You can't go to town with them. You can't always get in the car with them. But praise God, say, hey, when they get in the enemy's camp, God, will you go and get them when I can't? That sounds like my prayer life right now. God, I can't go. But I always remember, man, golly, he didn't find me in no theology school. Hey, man. I mean, all my dad did, he got to the end of the deal and said, hey, God, I'll make a deal with you. Everywhere I go, I'll pray that you go and get him. He's pretty faithful. I want to finish, I hope. Verse 20, and David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before him and the other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. That's good. It sounds good. And David came to the 200 men. Verse 21, this is a good. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Bezor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. What? Respected them. Amen? That's a sign of respect. We don't always need to look at weak people or a person who is weak in a certain area, in a certain place, in a certain time when you are strong. And you take a step forward and go and do the things you got to do with God, and they're still in that same place. What you got to realize is that could easily be you. Amen? Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, there's probably somewhere in your life where you did stop. Amen? And somebody else went and pursued. Amen? But here's what's great with David. He saluted them. Then answered, now listen, it's verse 22. I love this. There's so much richness here. If you'll study this out, then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David. You mean there were some people in there that went with him that were kind of wicked too? Yeah. There'll be some people that go forward, even in the church, that don't have a great motive, don't have the right leadership, but they'll go anyway. Because they went not with us, we will not give them all of the spoil that we may have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, and they may lead them away and depart. You know what he just said? You can give them their wife and kids, but we ain't giving them no stuff. Man, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm not gonna be super spiritual. It'd be tempting. Hey guys, you didn't do anything. I mean, you guys quit on us. Here's what you deserve. You need to go home with your family and listen to them tell you how dumb you are for not crossing the brook at Bezor. Amen? That'll teach you. That's what the world would say. That's what the world would say. And that's, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Blood and guts and a whole lot of danger, fighting, running, chasing, tears, doing the whole nine yards, it'd be easy to say. We probably said stuff like that. If we'd be totally honest with ourselves tonight, we probably said that to people and thought that about people. You don't come to church, you don't do this, you don't do that. Amen, preacher. Golly. Have you ever thought, man, as I was just saying that, ain't God's word like a two-edged sword? Man, you think it's cutting somebody and all of a sudden it gets you and you're like, ow! It just got me because I could just see myself saying some things, you know. Golly. Then David said, ye shall not do so. Now let's break it down in American terms, English language, modern English. You're not going to do that. God. Whew. Let's just put right there where it says, ye shall not do so, write the word grace right there. And mercy, grace and mercy. Sometimes in your walk as a Christian, when somebody's not doing well, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, they're not crossing their hurdles, they're not doing the things, they're not chasing, they're not pursuing, they're not going after God. Listen, sometimes God's going to whisper in your ear and say, give them grace. They don't deserve it. They didn't earn it. Give them grace. Throw some mercy in there with it. Amen. Whew, God, that's so good. My brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand, for we will hearken unto you in this matter. But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall be part alike. Golly bum. Yeah, you get it? What? Listen, hey, y'all stay with me right here. I'm going to close it. I promise. What is David doing right there? What is God doing? He's thinking further than that battle. He's thinking further than that hurdle. He's thinking further than that enemy. He's thinking, look, we need to give them part of this so the next time they come up to a hurdle, they would be more apt to cross it with us. And it never hurts to have more people with us. Let's let them taste how good it is to go past the quitting place. Because the next time they run up on this, I guarantee you they won't even hesitate. Those 200 that stopped that night when they're back at home and they got their wives and their kids and some stuff, I guarantee you their tears are running down their eyes and they're going, if we ever come to a place, I ain't never stopping. Amen? And that's what David, that's what God does for us sometimes when we need grace and mercy. When we hit that quitting place, and we do, and God blesses you anyway. God, right there, y'all. Did you hear what I just said? There's been places where I have failed God and stopped. Right? And God blessed me anyway. I wish I could be so transparent with y'all. There's been some times, I ain't even kidding you. I'm sitting there going, God, if I were you, I wouldn't speak to me again. I'm serious. I'm like, God, you shouldn't ever give me another word, period. I mean, you shouldn't, when I read your book, you should just make it like I'm reading Reader's Digest. I don't even know if they make that anymore. Amen? National Enquirer, whatever. I mean, man, it's funny sometimes. I mean, God, I wish I could tell you. It's funny sometimes. On your worst day, God says, hey, check this out. What are you doing, God? That's a huge revelation. That's something we'll preach and preach and preach. And you know where I'm at in my heart and my mind right now. And he goes, I know, and I still love you. I still love you. Just ask me to forgive you. Turn from that. And man, we're going to rock on with this message right here. It'll be great. Ain't that God? That's God. That's who you got in your corner. Amen. That's a big deal. I guess I want you to take away, Scott, come on, everybody stand. What I want y'all to take away, Miss Betsy, come on, if you want. What I want y'all to take away is right past that quitting place, right past it, that trajectory changes and it goes straight up, right? That's it. That's the whole key. When there's a reason why the devil wants you to stop in certain places. Because he knows if you get past that right there, you are going to be, God's going to be hard to deal with in your life. You're going to recover. You're going to get back. You're going to see some things happen with God. Now, I could probably go through this room right here, and there's enough people in here that's been in the church long enough. There's been times when you thought about quitting and giving up, but you're still here, and you can say, man, I'm glad I didn't give up, because that next week, a grandchild got saved, a child got saved, somebody got saved. You know what I mean? Somebody. Amen. And I'm being honest with you. Can I tie this over into where we're at today in 2019 right here at this church? If y'all don't know this, we got a huge building sitting over here we just built. It's sitting back here. You believe it or not, it is. It's sitting there. You know what the enemy's wanting to tell us in my heart, my mind some days? Better just quit on that. Just give up on that for a while. You know why? Because there's going to be hundreds and thousands of people getting saved in that building over there. And what he'd want us to do is just balk around and hold up and stay comfortable and no, what we got to do is we got to say, you know what, God, we're going to jump over the hurdle and do this thing. Amen? We're going to jump over the hurdle and go after that. Amen? That's just one thing. There's probably 1,000 more things going on in your personal life that you're going to have to get past the hurdles in life. Is they sing a song of invitation?